And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Matthew 10:21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Matthew 10:21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Test, 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 test.
Thank you all for tuning in to Ending Family Destruction. This is our first show for year 2008, the year of new beginnings. And today I have a special guest, Reverend Kelvin Simpson from the Damascus Missionary Baptist Church, a co-minister at our church. He's a very good minister. He knows a lot about the Word. He's very experienced. And today he's going to join me in our explanation as to why did I choose the theme that I chose for the show, Ending Family Destruction. Our theme in the show can be found in Matthew 10:34-39, and we're going to be discussing that while we accept callers on the topic of anything that destroys youth, family members, relationships, and why is it that we're facing these kind of concepts in these days and times that we're facing it. And so I brought in a special guest just for that purpose, of so he can assist me in answering callers and in the message that we're trying to get out in this show, as always. So Mr. Reverend, shall I say, Reverend Kelvin Smith, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
All right. So let's tackle this. Maybe you can read the scriptures that based on our foundation show from Matthew 10:34 to the audience so we can get a good understanding of what it is that we need to talk about.
Okay, Matthew 10:34 says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemy will be those on his own household." Verse 37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Verse 38, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me, is not worthy of me." Verse 39, "He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it."
Well, Lord have mercy. Lord, the word of God is really, really blessed. So today, this is the topic of choosing. Ending Family Destruction. And what we're going to do is, before we take callers, we're going to try to give you some kind of explanation as to why it is that we're in these times and going through the destruction. And the Bible even talks about this destruction and why it is. So, Reverend Simpson, I think I want to start with you and ask you, what's your perspective as to why is the Word saying that brother against brother, father against son, mother against, what's this all about?
Well, I just imagine that, you know, the Word of God is very, very simple. You know, we are in a society today that's based on so much untrust with families, so much criticism from one another, that to the point that the scripture plainly reads that, you know, the Lord is not here, not based on confusing a family, but he's here to actually straighten it out. And man seems to think that a lot of...
Okay. So now where are we? So we're talking about the family destruction from the biblical perspective of why it is that we're going through destruction. And so we started off with the first scriptures on Matthew 10:34. And Reverend Simpson has let us know that there's a reasoning behind it. But prior to 34, the Bible kind of talks a little bit about some other explanation as to God is a God that doesn't like to be for you to put no one ahead of him. And can you understand that concept of he's a jealous God?
Absolutely.
And so why is it, if he's a jealous God, is he causing people to turn on one another? Why is he saying in 34 that I'm going to bring the sword? And that's what's happening today in our society. People are turning on one another, and basically the sword is out already. What's that all about?
Well, I would imagine this. You know, the sword is the word of God. Basically what the race is doing, you know, what people are doing today is basically thinking about themselves. So many family matters, so many family problems, because a lot of the kids are family members, mom, dad, et cetera, are not really focused on things of Christ. They're focused more or less on themselves. And what that does, that causes, you know, a lot of havoc because there's no faith and trust in God. We have to have faith and we have to trust in the Lord. The Lord says, you know, that he did not think that, you know, he came to on this earth for peace. You know, he comes here basically not saying that he come here for destruction, but he comes here to more or less let people understand that his whole soul purpose is of peace. So things are allowed for certain reasons.
So it sounds to me like it being that these things are happening, people are becoming lovers of their self. Selfishness is in everywhere, especially with the young people who are living a lot of destructive ways and destructive lives. What kind of hope is it for them then if we're under the assumption that we're going to turn against one another? What method of retaliation as far as saving ourselves do we have at this point in our lives, knowing that all this destructiveness is happening? And what do therapists like myself do and other people do to help assist those, like our callers that we're going to have in a minute? The lines will be open in a minute. But what kind of strategies do you propose that we use for them?
Well, it's not necessarily as a strategy. You know, either people are going to believe or they're not going to believe. You know, that's something you cannot really force on anyone. You know, first of all, as someone who wants to be a savior of Christ, he has to first of all confess that, you know, that he's a sinner. That comes out of Romans 3:23. You know, so being that we confess, automatically it leads us to the faith that we believe that what God is going to do for us, that we believe in our heart. So he says he touches, he knows the heart of man. So, you know, our heart has to be right. For number one, and for number two, upon that, you know, we have to confess with our hearts being right that, you know, we know that separation from God, you know, it's a sin, you know. So, you know, confess you are a sinner has separated you from God. You know, that comes out of Isaiah 59:2. So we have to really understand that where we're at with Christ is the key point. It has to start with self before it starts anywhere else.
I think that's well said. At this time, I'm going to open up the line for callers. Callers, if you're in U.S., United States of America, our phone number is 877-876-5227. Once again, that's 877-876-5227. We also have a world line if you're listening to us worldwide and statewide. If one line is busy, you can call us at 530-876-3227. And ask for either Professor Johnson or Reverend Simpson, and we'll be glad to answer any of your calls, concerns about the theme of this show, Ending Family Destruction. And that's what we're tackling today, because in my website and also ReverendBlake.com, I talk a lot about this theme of destruction, that God is kind of allowing us to destroy ourselves. And Reverend Simpson is helping me to get some more understanding as to what it is that we have to do to protect our own families and to prevent the destruction in our families, because we can't stop what society is going to do. But what we can do is adjust to how we're going to react in our own intermediate family. And that's the beautiful thing about dealing with things from a spiritual perspective. Everything doesn't have to affect everyone the same. So that's what we're talking about today. That's going to be our focus for this whole show, and we're going to continue to discuss these topics until we get callers and go forth from there. Now, Reverend Simpson, have you dealt with any of this kind of stuff that family destruction, and that you knew that it was nothing that you did to make it happen, but you felt that you were under attack for some particular reason, and I want to say Satan here was trying to take down your family in any kind of way?
Well, you know, we all have some type. I mean, you know, I, of course, you know, with our kids and things of that nature, I have a daughter that's about 14 years old, and it's difficult because it seems like she doesn't go by the foundations that, you know, her and that her mother and I put out for her. Kids today have more of an attitude based on not really caring about what life has to offer. You know, I picked that up from my daughter several times, and we sit her down and we talk to her, you know, about different things. And she's very, very, very understanding and very knowledgeable of the Word of God because that's what we teach her. But even though that may be a fact or an issue, kids today seem to think that life still doesn't have a lot to offer. And so, yes, it's very easily you can feel that things are slipping away from you because you feel that you've tried your best and you try to get different types of help from different individuals, you know, other individuals that maybe have children such as yourself. You ask the right question, you know, what do you do to chastise your kid? What do you do to get your kid on the right track? You know, and you try to get the right answer, but we know that the answer that comes strictly from God, you know, because he says that his word would not return to us void. So we have to stay on the word of God and trust that God, what he says he's going to do is going to happen.
Now we have other, my audience is very spiritual. A lot of them have called me and emailed me on my line. And they've told me that they do believe in God, but because of the stress and the events of the world, sometimes they don't understand some methods of dealing, especially in relationships. Can you tell me how this destructiveness has interfered with a lot of relationships today? I mean, what's going on with relationships? Why are relationships, people are becoming more selfish and lovers of self when maybe years ago they had a pretty good, solid relationship? Why the change now, and why has society began to overrule our value systems in our relationships?
Well, for number one, relationship, the key word. Relationship, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, of course, that's going to make everything else null and void. You have to have a relationship with Christ. Therefore, once you have that one-on-one intimacy with the Lord, I do believe that God will lead you from that standpoint on. A lot of kids don't have that relationship. They don't believe that, you know, faith has any bearing on their life or the direction for what their life is headed. They don't believe those type things because even though they might have been taught it, you know, sometimes, you know, a lot of us today, from what I see in young kids today, they have a lot of wavering faith. Their foundation is not strong. Their foundation is very weak. They have to understand that God can do anything. He can take care of any need and give you any desires of your heart. All you got to do is stand on the word and believe this, you know, truly believe it. And so families today that have these problems, you know, and I look at myself today, I have these problems myself with my family. We have to really continue to be prayerful. Prayer, we know that prayer is the answer, and there is no other way to get around it. We have to stay prayerful and believe that what God said he's going to do, he's going to do it.
I like that response, and I believe the same thing you're saying, but most of the time as a therapist, Reverend, I'm dealing with a lot of unbelievers, and all they know is what's happening in the world. So what they ask me is, okay, what does it got to do with our rent not being paid and us becoming homeless or these kind of things? And a lot of times it appears to a lot of the unbelievers in which I counsel and do therapy work with is that God is not even thinking about them. And when we just read the scriptures, the God said, I came with the sword. So it sounds to me like a double negative. So what's going on with that? I mean, how is it someone to understand that there's hope when they sound like the times we live in, and even the Bible is saying this is going to be some bad things happening. So why is it not going to happen to me? And what can I do if it is happening to me to get uplifted from that? I know prayer, you speak of that, but what else can I do?
Well, you know, there really isn't any other thing you can do, I know, but prayer. We come up against a lot of things in this world today. The Bible tells us that we don't come against flesh and blood, but we come against the principalities. You know, so the bottom line is that what comes against us is not flesh and blood itself. It's actually the spirit of someone that comes against us. So the spirit is the evilness that's inside of that body, that even the thoughts that we may have may be evil. Our ways may be evil. The things that we do may be evil. And what causes that evilness is because of the environment that we continue to keep, that we choose to keep. So we need to change our environment and change our ways and change our perspective. So number one, you know, we need to what? Seek God and His kingdom, you know, and all these things to follow.
We have a caller on the line. Caller?
Yes.
He's a professor. What can we do for you today?
I have a question for you. This is relating to my family. My family and I live in two different states, and I have turned my life over to God, and I am trying to live a life based on God's plans, and I'm trying to pull my wife and my children into the same belief, but being separated for one is an issue, and my wife she's not fighting me on the issue, but she's not attending church as much as I would like her to. I mean, what can I do to go about getting my entire family into more of God's service?
Well, let's ask a more experienced, older veteran minister on that. Reverend Simpson, what do you think you should do in this situation?
Well, basically, you said your family you're in two different states.
Yes.
Do you keep in contact with them on a daily basis or a weekly basis?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Daily.
So based on that, for number one, you need not to be separated. If you somehow either can go there or they can come where you're at, see, God honors marriage, and unity is the key to happiness, because when you split the body, okay, therefore what causes, it causes a problem because there's no head at one, you know, one or the other. So you being the head, you know, God speaks to you and gives you direction. Therefore, the family is to follow your directions that you follow through Christ Jesus. So,
okay. The problem is, if I'm in school in one state, she has a profession in another state, and I have a commitment, a two-year commitment in school.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of stuck here.
Okay, so you got, and she's going to school also?
No, she has a career in the state that she's residing in.
Okay, so she has a career and you're going to school.
Right.
And they basically are with your wife. Is that correct? Is it your wife we're talking about?
Right.
Okay, so they're basically with your wife. And you're here going to school.
Right.
So you want your family to be together.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Well, you know, the best thing to do is being that you are in school and she's at her career, and knowing that she's not going to leave her career basically to come here, or maybe try to transfer to where you're at to be together as a family, you know, because, see, God honors marriage. And he has to, you know, he has to be acknowledged first. If your wife and yourself, even though you're separated, and I mean, you know, literally not together, you're here and where she's at, and she's down there and doing her job, and she's doing whatever needs to be done to take care of the kids while you're at school. But the best thing to do with that situation is to continually on calling your wife every day, praying with her and your family. If you got on the phone and you just prayed And see, God hears prayer. He hears prayer, and he hears. And what he's going to do, because he knows where your heart is at, and he knows what you want to do, he'll fix it for you.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So he'll fix it for you. So just stay prayerful. Believe in what God's going to do. He's going to do it. And that's the whole thing of the faith of that mustard seed. You see, because that mustard seed is so small. And that's how our faith is. It's very small. But see, we can overcome any obstacles that come to us because, see, all the adversary wants to do is to cause harm, okay, in any relationship because he knows that God honors marriage.
Right.
So stay prayerful about your family, about your situation, and call out your family and give it to God and believe that what God says he's going to do, he's going to do it. He will step up. God is never, he's never late for what he does. You know, we may be very impatient. You know, because that's how the human race is. We're very impatient. We say, oh, well, you know, you didn't hear my prayer. But you're diligent and you're faithful and God knows what you want. Trust me. He will answer you and he will give you the desires of your heart.
And I believe that. Thank you. Thank you very much.
God bless you.
Thank you, caller. Reverend Simpson, that was good advice, and it's interesting. You know, I was thinking about something while you were talking to him, and I was saying, you know, the devil came to kill and destroy and lie and cheat. But in my statement, in my introduction, I talk about, well, God is coming with the sword. So both of them coming with the sword look like to me. I'm a little confused. What's going on? If both got a sword, who do I know who's right and who's wrong? They both got a sword.
Well, we know that the sword of the evil one is the sword of death. So we know the sword of God is the sword of life. So, I'd rather have God's sword any way they go. I'll never choose to understand that, you know, what Satan's intentions are, his intentions are just what they are. You know, he comes to rob and to steal and to destroy. He comes to kill. You know, and if there's anything that he can do with a marriage or any relationship, if he could split it up, you know, knowing that he come against our weaknesses, knowing that our families are you know, we're trying to do our everyday basic needs, you know, God's sword is a sword of life, and Satan's sword is a sword of death. So it's just like night and day. And there is really no comparison when it comes to Satan, because Satan is just what he is. He's a liar. So we have to step on the word of God, and we have to have God's sword. You know, that's why he said put on the full armor of God, you know, so you'll be what? Protected against the wiles of the enemy. So we have to understand that the wiles of the enemy are constantly against us. We're talking about a spiritual warfare here.
You know, I'm listening to the way you handled that caller, and I'm a therapist. You know, my radio listeners know I'm a professor and a therapist, but somehow the knowledge you're saying is really resonating in me. And so seeing that being the case, this situation in which you just was talking with our caller about, it looks like he's under destruction. People are trying to end his career, but you told him to call every day, and you told him to pray with his wife. And so what kind of difference do you think that calling every day really does when you're so far away and looks like Satan is trying to make it seem like you're, you know, trying to destroy that family? So, I mean, what's going on? I mean, you know?
Well, you know, basically, the reason why I say call every day, and if you're able to do so, that means that, you know, that gives you comfort. It gives her comfort. Even though just hearing your spouse's voice is going to give you comfort. And she's going to be more comforted because, for number one, he's thinking about her. He called, you know, honey, I want to pray, you know, with you and the kids, etc. You know, and being that you make that first initial step, you know, towards unity, you know, God will make, he'll turn any situation around. Whether we may think that, I've been doing this and doing it and this ain't no use, I'm going to give up, you know. But see, God is a God. You know, he never, never, never late. And he will be on time every time. And just as we may decide that we want to just give up and throw down, you know, he steps in. And he takes care of his own. And I just want this young man to be, you know, inspired. because God is here. He would hear your humble cry. Just be inspired, because he does hear prayer.
I believe that this caller has emailed me on BlakeJohnson85@gmail.com because I tried to solve or work with some solutions for this client, and it sounds like that is the person, because a lot of my callers do actually email me at BlakeJohnson85@gmail.com and ask me questions. And so I approach the same situation for a more therapeutic approach, but I kind of like the concepts dealing with I didn't think to tell him to call every day. And so if that is the caller that was on my email, I didn't tell him that he should call every day to keep the connection going. And but you say that that's kind of important to keep that connection every day. And now, he did, if that is the caller, he also asked me, he said, he stated in the email that he wants her to move here where he is, where he was, and then that she was someplace else. And what the Bible says, a woman should cleave to her husband. But he said something about she's with her mother and family. And so that to me sounds to me, and I know he's probably still listening, caller, what kind of solution does he have towards that, when she should be closer to her mom, but at the same time he is making roots where he is? And if that's the case, then who's right and who's wrong, and what should they do?
Well, I think that, you know, number one, man has been made the head. And we as a family, or even as a marriage, we are one in the eyesight of Christ. So therefore that, you know, the scriptures tell us that we should leave our mother and father, you know, and we should become one in the eyesight of God. So we, us as children of God, we have to do the right thing, for number one. If his wife has a really good career where she's at, you know, and he's going to school and he's doing his schooling to get his career started, you know, God sees what the situation is, and he understands. We don't serve a God that's a selfish God. We serve a God of understanding and love, and he understands the situation of this young man, and he understands that he wants to be with his family. That's why I mentioned to him, you know, that if he called her and even prayed with her on a daily basis, therefore what that does is that that gets a unity with them at the time that they're away from each other. So that unity could be even on the phone, long distance. You know, so that's basically what I suggest. You know, that's something that I would do, because I know that, you know, I love my family, I love my wife, and if I was off going to school, as such as the young man is, and my wife had a career, you know, I know that I'm the head, you know, and I know that God honors marriage. So what I would basically do is that I would do that. I would call my wife, and, you know, and I'll pray, and then we'll just have, you know, do a little fellowship on the phone, and say, wife, I'll call you again, you know, tomorrow at the same time. You know, if there's anything you got doing that you got to do, then I'll call you at a later time, but I'll still call you tomorrow. You know, and what that does is that gets you closer to your wife, even though you're long distance away from her, and that's that unity that you need.
Wow. You know, I am so fortunate to have you on the show. Working with you in the pulpit and getting to know you, I see that with years comes wisdom, and I'm a young professor, a young doctor, still trying to learn the ropes of helping folks, and sometimes it seems like I can just listen to you and just know some things that other people wouldn't regularly tell me, not my co-professors, not some of my co-counselors, and it's good to have some experience in life, and I think sometimes education can't replace or can't even begin to understand what experience and the Spirit of God in you can do. And I want to keep encouraging you to do what you're doing and invite you back to the show many more times, because I'm always having audiences with questions that sometimes requires more experience than it does education. And so I really appreciate it, because this topic today of helping, you even helped me to better understand why I chose that topic. It's understanding why the destruction occurs in our world. And then there's more that we talk and we get more callers. By the way, callers, the line is open. If you're listening, I know sometimes, brothers and sisters, it's a shame. Sometimes people are too nervous to talk about their problems. They don't have to tell me their names or anything. All they got to do is pick up the phone and dial 877-876-5227. And if you're overseas, because we do have overseas, 530-876-3222. We also have a Canada number because we do have Canada listeners, and that's 888-815-9756. So as we continue on with our conversation, now I want to take a different approach now. And now I want to talk a little bit more. Really, the focus today is, for me, is I'm a youth counselor, and I deal with, as well as an adult therapist, but I deal with youth and families. And now I'm dealing with youth that I'm trying to tell them simple things, and they tend to ignore me at where I work at sometimes because they think I'm old and that really I ain't offering anything for them. And a lot of us parents and older people are dealing with issues where we're trying to explain to the younger generation that you need to listen to learn before you can lead. You got to follow. And so as a therapist now, I'm asking you this as a therapist, because we can't even talk about God at my church, my job. So how do I tell young folks who are using all kind of vulgar language and cursing and all that, is that how do I introduce them to God without mentioning the word God and the concepts of who he is and how he can help change their life and treatment? Because I've done it at other places. I worked at the Salvation Army, and so I can do that. I can talk about God, but I can't do it at a secular treatment center. So do you have any advice that I can utilize maybe without losing my job? Because professors get paid pretty good and therapists get paid pretty good, but unemployed people don't get paid at all. You know,
I do what so,
maybe you can help me out with that, because until we get another caller, can give me some advice as to how I can go about this, being a more established person in the world, and that maybe you can tell me some methodology in which I can utilize this to help people, because my goal is to help folks in this show and in my life. So what can I do and still maintain employment and a nice house?
Well, you know, it's pretty simple, actually. You know, if you're on a job where they don't allow you to speak the word of God, you know, I sometimes face things of that nature on my job, but not so much, because my customers come to me and I speak about the Lord.
We have a caller, Reverend Simpson.
Yes, sir.
Caller, you reached Ending Family Destruction. What can I do for you?
Am I on?
Yes.
All right. Hi, I was just wondering if I... Wait a second, sorry. I was just wondering if you appreciate how big...
Say that again, caller? Caller? Okay. Well, we should continue. Reverend Simpson, now, where were you before we were interrupted?
Well, I'm thinking what your question was there.
Oh, okay. Well, basically, it was a long, drawn-out question. It's just basically, you know, you can't really talk about God a lot of times, and I'm a therapist, and I know the solution, and I was working at Salvation Army, I could talk about God therapeutically, and, you know, but sometimes they get offended when I talk about the solutions that you were talking about earlier with the client, with our caller, about, you know, praying and God and this and that. So I know that that's a solution, being a minister myself. However, seeing that we are in the times where we can't even say they're going to take a God out of the pledge of allegiance, can't do this, can't do that, how do we teach people how to end their destruction without teaching them spiritual concepts? Or do we have to teach spiritual concepts, and do we have to play with words? Do we have to manipulate the system? What do you suggest as a, I'm going to keep saying this, as a veteran, older man, that we can do with your knowledge and experience to continue on trying to help families from being destructive and teach them knowledge without offending our society and losing our jobs and being unemployed and all those kind of things? What is our angle that we can... I'm going to say strategy, because that's been my word and my scope. What kind of theme or topic can we use to not offend the world, but yet at the same time and not lose our jobs or whatever, and still tell them the truth in order to so that their family can have a chance in this evil world that we live in?
Well, to answer part of that question, we have to, you know, family is very important. On the workplace, I do believe your first question was that how do we basically submit ourselves about Christ on our workplace?
Yeah.
And, you know, I do run across that situation sometimes. And basically what I do is that knowing that sometime that, you know, we have our boss looking over our shoulders and trying to see what our conversation is with our customers. But what I do sometimes is that people talk to me about Christ, and I discuss it with them, and I have my company card, and I give them a card. I said, you know, I'll give you my card. I put my number on it, and if you want me to pray for you, I will pray with you. You know, and they are really thankful for that, being that you are praying for them. So then at that time, once they do call you, then you have a chance to go forward with your conversation.
What if they don't talk to you about Christ, but you know that they need some more understanding, or they're going to destroy themselves, their family, and everything else?
Well, you know, I tell you, you know, the Bible tells us there's a time for everything.
Okay.
So we have to understand that sometime on our workplace, we more or less can't be sheltered as far as the Word of God. But if someone needs it, you can always speak. You know, it says, you know, are you a believer? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And if the individual speak, I went to church when I was younger, but, you know, I ain't really followed through with it. And you may hear that response, you know, quite a bit. But upon that, that's going to give you an open door to the point that you know that he had an interest. So even though that at that time, you know, I've done this as well. I've told people to meet me back by the bathroom, you know, and they'll meet me back by the bathroom, and I'll grab their hand, and I'll pray with them real quick. You know, and give them my card, and then they'll leave. And then they'll call me back on my job.
Wow.
They're thanking me for that. So, you know, there's ways to get around from things, you know, because the Lord tell us, you know, that if you're ashamed of me, you know, our Father in heaven will be ashamed of you. So I'm not ashamed about anything when it comes to the Lord, but God give us the spirit of discernment, give us understanding, and he doesn't want us to lose our jobs because of him. But the bottom line is that he don't want us to keep our mouths shut, but he will sometimes shut our mouths.
Okay. I mean, that's a unique situation, because at my job, I can say the word higher power and those kind of concepts, and I can usually, sometimes it opens the door for them to ask me, but when it doesn't, I'm so anxious sometimes, and I just want to tell them that, you know what, why don't you just go to church and find out who God is? And I can't say that, so unless they initiate, or if I can use 12-step principles, because that's kind of what they do with that. They mentioned those 12-step principles. That's the only way I can get in on the therapeutic approach. Even in my domestic violence, I teach DV classes as well. That's one of my concepts of any family instruction, is teaching men how to be men and not to be violent. And I have, in case, invited some people to church, because where I work at, my partner in the agency, she's okay with that. She's a spiritual person as well, and so I don't think she's mad if I cross the line a little bit. But if I was in a regular secular organization at DV, where I'm doing, I think they would fire me, because I've invited several people to our church. One is coming next week, so I don't know. I'm just I'm trying to get that balance, and I think maybe you sound like you somewhat have that balance, how to tell people how to help themselves without losing your position. And so you have never lost a job over it, have you?
Oh, no, ma'am. No, sir. No, and the thing of it is, though, too, you know, you can actually, you know, get to a person if they haven't been saved, and if even though if they're wondering about it, Sometime I've done what they call the ABC, you know, accept, believe, and confess, you know. So even if you did the ABC just very quickly with an individual, for them to accept Christ at that very moment, they don't know what you're asking them, but after it's been completed, then they just gave their lives to Christ. And you can then tell them that, how you just gave your life to Christ. People, now I've done that a few times on my job, and people come back with me praising God and say, hey, you know, I appreciate you praying with me, and now that I know that I've been saved, you know, I have joined this church over here on so-and-so Avenue, and I'm attending there full time, and now I'm seeking the Lord, and they get that zeal. And I praise God because, see, God gets the glory. That's the whole point. And we don't want to be embarrassed at any given time about anything about the Lord. We want it to be out and open. We want to give it to them and let them understand that what they're receiving the blessings and the grace of God.
You know, it's so interesting that you say that, because that's also one of the premise of my opening. When people listen to our show, they listen to our opening, which is about 3 minutes long. And prior to verse 34 is a verse that says, basically, if you're ashamed of God, then, you know, and you're ashamed to say, you know, you belong to him, you got issues. He basically, when you need him, then he's not going to be there. So, I like that concept, and you're really reinforcing what we're doing here at the show. And more than anything, I've watched you in the church. You're a very, very knowledgeable person. Sometimes how do people, personal information, knowledge and all that, how can that sometimes interfere with their ability to be effective as a person of God and balancing that out? How do you do that and without forsaking God at the same time? Like, what, kind of what I just said before, but how do you balance that out in just with people you meet? Because every time I meet somebody, I want to tell them about God. And that's not really the way to get to know people or whatever, because that's not everything whom I am. So how do you balance that out in your social life, wanting to tell people about God, but at the same time, you know, not wanting to offend them, at the same time not wanting to be sneaky with it, because I say being sneaky with it sometimes is not always what God wants. So how do you handle all that, and you're trying to help people in this process?
Well, you know what? The way that I would handle the situation is through the spirit of discernment. God will give you, that's like if you see a stranger on the street and you walk up to that stranger or you walk by that stranger, and if the Lord puts on your heart to do something or to say something, which you're under the direction of the Holy Spirit, then you're going to do what the Holy Spirit asks you to do. Because God has already prepared the situation that you're about to be in. He's already prepared the outcome. So we have to be mindful. That's why when the Bible says, have an open ear, you know, those who have an ear, let them hear. So we need to hear the voice of God that speaks through us, through his discerning power, and that he gives us direction. And through his direction, then we are being obedient upon the obedience. As we know that when Noah built the ark in the Old Testament, it was through obedience. And after the obedience of Noah, then it became righteousness in the eyesight of God. Why did it become righteousness? Because we are faithful and we are obedient to God. Therefore, we are righteous in God's eyesight. We don't question nothing God wants us to do. We just do what he wants us to do. So upon meeting a stranger or someone, God will put on your heart. He would either put a burning desire in on your heart, or either he would just put it on you to more or less say something. And you may say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to say. And he may just say, well, just speak. And then when you decide that you're going to speak, then the utterance will come through you. As a vessel that he uses, it was going to come through you, and he's going to speak through you. But whatever was said, it was a word that was said that stranger needed to hear. That's how God works. He works through the vessel. And I praise God because he's an awesome God.
You know, I listen to you a lot in the church, and you're a very knowledgeable person. Answer me this question. Dealing with communication errors, why is it that people who love God, they love each other, they love God, and the family, because church is a family. Why is it that church families suffer so much miscommunication and communication errors when we need to be a leader of showing how we get along with one another in brotherhood? I know that's why they created the church covenant, which came from scriptures, different parts of the scriptures. Why is it that people who love God seem to have so much trouble communicating with one another? Is it an issue of submission, or maybe that we feel that we should or shouldn't submit to people or to help one another, or is it a power thing? I don't know. I've been trying to figure this out, Reverend Simpson, and maybe you can help me to understand that better, why we as believers seem to struggle as much as non-believers in forms of communication errors, which is one of the things I'm tackling in this show. Help me out. What do you think is that the problem about that?
Well, basically, we have to understand that Jesus long suffered. Okay, long suffering gives us the same suffering as Jesus Christ. So if we are Christ-like, as a lot of us want to be like Christ, we want to put ourselves like Christ. We want to walk and we want to talk and we want to have the atmosphere of like Christ. So the struggle, excuse me, brother, the struggle that comes to mind is that we all struggle, but we all go through the phases of being wounded in our spirits and trying to be faithful and trying to stay faithful and trying to stay prayerful through the storm. But see, God tests every last one of us. He wants to see how much that you do love him, even though we say, well, Lord, we love you. And he wants to see how much he loves, how much we love him. And what he does is we go through our trials and tribulations on a daily basis. So what we have to do when we go through these trials and tribulations, we have to kill the flesh. We have to allow the Spirit of God to give us that discernment of his holiness and give us the guidance that that we're seeking for. So even though through our struggles of life, God never takes his hands off of us, because we're not bound for hell, we're bound for heaven. And the bottom line with that is that God has opened the door. He said, knock and I shall come in. So we've already allowed him to come into our hearts. Therefore, we have already filled with the Spirit of God. Therefore, we are children of God. Therefore, we are able to what? Call him Abba, Father. So upon that, we have already been blessed. But we have the faith to believe that we have been blessed, even though our circumstances are what it is. We have to believe on God's word, believe that God will, and have the faith enough to believe that God will do what he said he's going to do. Now, I elaborated that a couple of times beforehand, and it comes right back around to the same thing, because faith is the whole key to everything. If you don't have faith, you know, it's like Paul said, I think, in the 1 Corinthians about love. If you don't have love, you don't have anything. Well, if you don't have faith, you don't have nothing either. It's just that simple. Because if you don't have faith, then you do what? You don't believe in God, and you believe in the ways of the world. So faith is going to give you that barrier to the holiness of God, because now you are not relying on yourself. You're relying on God, because now your faith is in him, not in yourself.
You know, I came from a church back in Broadview, Illinois, Broadview Missionary Baptist Church. We started at a church similar to ours, and one of the issues that I saw early on in the church is that when there were a lot of changes being made, because my pastor prior to that, before my main pastor, he would preach like an hour and a half, and church would last 3 hours, and I officially didn't join until my new pastor came, who shrank the service down to an hour and a half, and our family was rebelling amongst each other, and our church family was starting not to look so good and at first, but then it seemed like we persevered, and eventually they gave in to submission. Do you think that submission is a necessary element in saving families and saving churches and saving communities? And if so, how do people go about submission? And what's the process that you see that's going to be effective in saving churches, communities, relationships, marriages, children? What's, what does that have to do with the answer to what we're talking about?
Well, you know, we all have to submit to something. You know, whether it's, you know, to the church or whether it's to our families, whether it's to our jobs, we have to submit to something. To submit to the church is the body of Christ, which is the people associated with that church. It is not the building itself. We have to understand that submitting, which means that we're giving ourselves to Christ. We're giving ourselves to some situation, whether it's with the family. If you submit yourself to your job, it means you're on your way to. You're going to submit to. So you're going to your job. You're going to the temple of Christ to give God your prayers, you know, the desires of your heart. You want to pour yourself out to Him. So submitting is just a process to where we're starting to get ourselves in order with Christ.
And why do people struggle with that, if that's what we need to do? Why do they struggle with leadership and people whom God has put in places that they should be, and what's the problem with that then?
Well, you know, it's not really so much of a problem. It's right back to where it is before. You know, if people have a problem with submitting themselves to Christ, then it's because of their belief. It's what they don't believe. I've heard people say, you know, that the Bible is a fairy tale. You know, it's fairy tale stories in the Bible. You know, and I ask the question, you know, well, what makes you think that what the Bible is a fairy tale? You know, because of the stories that they read, they don't believe that it has no concept. And they don't believe that what they've read has no merit. See, so it goes to tangible things. If a person says, well, hey, you know, I want you to believe in your mind that I just gave you $500, you know, and then versus put $500 down on the table before that person, you know, and then says, now, are you going to believe I gave you $500, or do you see $500 right here, and you can take $500, what would you do? Bottom line is, what they're going to do, they're going to take the $500. Now, what the scenario is to that is that it's tangible things. They want something that they can see, they can hold on to, not taking your word that you have given it to them through your mind, but they want to have their hand on it. So therefore, then they believe because they have their hands on it. Tangible things. See, so that's why faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. We have the evidence of things not seen is where our faith comes from. The holiness of God.
You know what? I want to thank you. The show is about to come to a conclusion. This has been a great show. You've really helped me to put a spin on my theme, which is on revblakejohnson.com and bbsradio.com, station 1 and 3, pre-recorded and live. Today is live. Thank you. So you really helped me a lot, Reverend Simpson. I look forward to continuing to grow with you. We're going to invite you back because I know that our audience worldwide and statewide has really appreciated this. And as we do more to get more people aware of our show, I just want to thank you, man, for just being who you are. And I'm going to continue to suck up all I can and learn from whoever is around me, because one of my themes is that longer we're here on earth, we learn a lot of things, and we have to be submissive to being open-minded as well and allowing the spirit of discretion to come in us spiritually and let us know what's right for wrong. So just continue to do what you do. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to bbsradio.com. Tune in 2 weeks from now when I have Mother Jay from Missionary Broadview Missionary Baptist Church to explain to us the issues with in-laws and how that destroys families. And we're going to continue on with this message next week with a pre-recorded CD on Station 3. Okay? Station 3 pre-recorded. Okay. So thank you all for tuning in to Ending Family Destruction. And please, please tune in 2 weeks from now, Station 1. Thank you very much and have a good day. God bless everyone.